Ready to go, if we can get the slides up.
Yeah, well, we still have to actually call the meeting to order.
Hello.
Okay, will you please stand and join me for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and now we have public comment period for items not on the agenda. I do have a slip for Eric Greening. If anybody else wants to speak on an item not on the agenda, we only have one agenda item today. Please grab a speaker slip. Okay, Eric.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and I just wanted to remind everyone that tomorrow the Board of Supervisors in their afternoon session beginning at 1:30 will be considering the resource capacity study for the Paso Robles groundwater basin, including your recommendations. And one concern that you raised is very emphatically dismissed in the staff report the supervisors are getting, namely a discomfort about completely separating your findings for the Atascadero subbasin from those for the basin as a whole. And so I just wanted to alert you to that being in the staff report, and if the very strong dismissal or reassurance or whatever it is doesn't reassure you, if you still have concerns, either try to get to the hearing or make those concerns known to the board or members of the board in whatever way you can, because the staff report, as I thought it might, the staff report does not so much convey your recommendations. It conveys your certainly the written record of what you recommended, but it doesn't exactly convey them the way you conveyed them, particularly that one. So I just thought you would want to know, and the hearing is tomorrow at 1:30. Thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, please do. I was going to say something too.
Oh, go ahead.
That's the end of this public comment period for items not on the agenda. I did want to just reply, Eric. I'm sorry I haven't done it before. With a meeting today, Wednesday and Thursday, to actually take another time, more time away from my work, isn't possible, but certainly my concerns were evident at the meeting, and I think that they've been conveyed to my supervisor. And Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes, Mr. Greening, thank you for bringing this up. I also communicated to Jim Patterson, the supervisor, about the motion that I made to merely ask the supervisors to reassess the wisdom of whether or not it was best to manage two separate basins or one basin altogether insofar as the best management of our water resources in the North County. So certainly Supervisor Patterson is aware of my motion and why I made it.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner O'Grady. Okay, planning staff updates. Is that you, Mr. Stevenson?
Thank you, Chairman Christensen. And we do not have any staff updates for you today.
Okay. We don't have any consent agenda, so we go right into commission business, which is a study session on the Shandon Community Plan update. Ramona, you want to introduce our hearing item?
That'll be Nicole.
Oops, I'm sorry. Nicole, there you are.
Nicole will be doing all the Shandon.
Okay, oh, okay. All right. Nicole, I'm really bad at names and I have a terrible memory about something, so please just keep reminding me of your name.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Study session on the Shandon Community Plan Update, Supervisorial District 1, Jay Johnson, Planner.
Thank you, and actually I'll have a few introductory comments and then hand it over to Jay and Mike. So welcome, commissioners. My name is Chuck Stevenson, and I'm the long-range planning manager, so welcome. And I'd also like just to mention Nicole Ratana is going to be clerking for your commission on the Shandon project, and she's been in our department for quite a long time and clerks the SRB and hearing our planning department hearings, so we welcome her for these hearings. And then also Jay Johnson is a project manager for the Shandon update. and Mike Wilkin is the supervising planner for the community planning section, so he'll be here as well. Today's meeting is really to inform your commission and walk you through the various components of the Shannon Area Plan. Up on the screen are the points that we hope to achieve today, to provide some background information, and as you prepare for upcoming hearings, to acquaint you with the organization structure of the plan, to walk you through some of the key features and points that we'll be dealing with in the plan update, and then
Shandon would have been looked at with the Shandon-Carrizo area plan. We made a choice a few years ago to start looking at community plans separately. So when this became an opportunity to do this, it was really kind of cutting new ground for us. So the Shannon Community Plan as a general plan document is a policy document. It is also an implementing document. You'll see in the community plan, you'll see implementing programs, and you'll see standards and guidelines that would work their way into Title 22 of the Land Use Ordinance and become requirements for development as Shandon were to develop. Local policies, and again, this ties to, it's not looking at policies that are region-wide or county-wide, but these would be local policies to guide Shandon over the next 25 years. And that's a little different from some of our area plans, where the land use element framework for planning tends to say 20 years is our window of planning. The topics that are addressed in the plan that you'll see are population and economy, where and how much commercial and residential to occur in the town. Shandon's a town, we'll see in a few moments, that doesn't have any multifamily, has limited commercial at this time. As with any part of our county, we want to look at natural and cultural resources, energy conservation, transportation, and then very important with Shandon is the key public facilities and funding of those facilities. We'll see in this document that we have included a public facility financing plan that's unique to this particular document in our county. Those of you that may be familiar with the city planning would note that we see the public facility financing plan quite often with specific plans and other community planning documents. And again, as I mentioned, development standards and guidelines. That would be standards and guidelines we might see in any community, or we might see some that are unique to Shandon, as recommended by the community and through our efforts in the workshops. So why is this being updated? Well, this one hasn't been changed since 1981. The existing Shandon Community Plan is part of the land use element, and it's probably 3 or 4 pages. The number of programs in the current plan are 2. I believe they were to build a sewer plant and to have a volunteer fire department. They now have a voluntary fire department. It could use a few more volunteers if anyone's listening. And now we're to the point where a sewer is being programmed into this document. Also, going back to 2003, Cal Poly did a study with Shandon to propose a general plan for the town. At about the same time, we had some private amendments show up on our doorstep in 2004. And so we kind of took the approach, this is an opportunity to join forces with a couple of the private developers. We refer to them as the primary Shandon applicants, a unique relationship with the Board of Supervisors, a guidance document for that relationship, which we will also talk about in a few moments. It provides us the opportunity for commercial and residential growth. Very little growth has occurred out in Shandon in the past dozen or so years. And then once the plan is adopted, and this is very important for Shandon, is it will make Shandon competitive for grants and loans. As I mentioned, it really kicked off in 2004. The board and the community got together and decided what would be the study area. We don't know how big the town might be considered to look at. So initially, and the board approved is with input from the community to about a 2,000-acre area with Shandon in the middle of it, wrapping around of it, essentially going with Highway 46 along the north, heading south to Starkey Road from the foothills over to where 41 heads down to Creston. So the board entered into an agreement with the – initially there were three owners, but now there are two – to essentially pay for the preparing of the plan and the environmental impact report. I think I calculated one time the county is roughly one-seventh of that bill. So that's also an advantage of preparing this document. It's also challenging in that having partners rather than just the county. In 2007, there were several workshops conducted in the community. In March of 2007, the Shandon Advisory Council endorsed what is called the Shandon, the priorities, the community fully worked out and completed and released to the public until the first week of January of this year. So let's take a look. Well, who moved my...
That was my editing.
Chuck moved my lines.
I made the map larger so they could read it, and the line got moved.
We'll live with that one. This is the existing URL, and if you picture it stretched out, it fits around the colorful zoning categories over Shandon. It shows you the size of Shandon, roughly 400 acres. It has the Chelan Creek and the San Juan Creek coming together to form one of our few rivers in this county, the Estrella River, at the confluence, if you will. And then off to the side, up this little red arrow should be at the intersection of 46 West and 46 East and West Center Street. It's a piece of property that's outside of the urban reserve line. It is currently zoned commercial retail. It's been that way for a long time. I can remember as a kid coming through in Fresno and actually stopping at the gas station that was once there. So as we see, time progressed, this is the the study area that the board approved in gray around the town, and it was much larger. It included the 400 acres of table grapes to the south. That family at one time was one of the three primary applicants, and through a private decision they made a few years ago, they pulled out. The guidance agreement with the board allowed that to happen. So in pursuing this, after going through the workshops and working with the applicants and the public, we came up with the urban reserve line for the public review draft and the environmental impact report. And that includes that detached piece that I had mentioned. We're recommending that get located on the other side of the creek, closer to town, into a setting that could allow for more flexibility in design and layout of that project. But you can see that the urban reserve line that was looked at in the environmental impact report was much smaller than the study area. Looking at that time, about 2,200 total homes. Right now there's about 350 homes, so about 2,200 new homes, and over a million square feet of floor area. And that was one of the hardest things to capture in this, was to determine how much commercial would a town in this situation need. And there's nothing jumping out at you when you research this to suggest exactly what that would be. It's not on, if it were on 101, it would be a different amount. If we're in the Central Valley, it would have a different amount. Regardless, as we moved forward and started receiving feedback, we decided that the compact development alternative that was presented in the environmental impact report was, from staff's perspective, the way to go. We will be recommending to your commission a version of the plan that fits this compact development alternative. It's more in tune with the Clean Air Plan. It would be, instead of 8,100 people, it would be 5,200 people. Instead of 2,200 more homes, it would be roughly 1,100 more, 1,437 total. And so it would bring it closer. And instead of the total addition of the expansion areas would be 220 acres. So we have a town that's nearly 400 acres and adding 220 to that.
How many homes did you say? I heard two numbers for homes, and
I apologize for that. The plan looked at in the environmental impact report calls out for 2,200 total homes, and that is still on the table. We don't want to ignore that fact. Your commission could look at that project description and make determination on that rather than one we're recommending. We're recommending an alternative that would have about 1,440 total homes.
Including
existing. So all said and done, at the end of the day, when this builds out, and we'll get into how that may take shape in a bit, about 5,260 people versus 8,100. Let's just let's have a look. Shannon's a great place. This would be heading on Highway 41 into town. Just as you get to the urban reserve line, off to the right would be a neighborhood called the Heights. This is looking down towards the fire, so it would be up to their choice. And I'll just go through a few of the neighborhoods so you can get a feel. Again, the street trees are prevalent. You'll see also in the old part of Shandon, the right-of-ways are wide. The streets with the numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 are wider than Center Street, and that's a little bit inconvenient for I heard us discussing before the meeting that we're looking to transfer right-of-way with Caltrans to where Center Street would become county. Well, it only has a 60-foot right-of-way, and that's a little restrictive in terms of a main street, whereas the side streets are 70 and 80 feet wide. And also you'll see that there's a not unusual overhead utilities. Again, just large trees, a lot of pickups. Shandon Alley. This is a named street. It's a fascinating place. There actually used to be, I understand, businesses that fronted on Shandon Alley. And so you get some new pavement, you get some infrastructure in there, you get some interest economically, and Shandon Alley or other areas in town could be revitalized. And a little bit of the Center Street, a church on Center Street. Center Street has essentially two markets, the post office, the library, this church, and you can see some remnants of previous commercial businesses, motel, whatnot, on Center Street. And this is the hub of all activity. The little brown box in the middle there, that's the post office. You want to visit with anyone in Shandon, you go there. You want to get notice out, you go there. Spend the day there, you get to see people. You can see that. Look at the narrowness of the right-of-way. Look at the two cars parked diagonally on Center Street. To get out of those parking spaces, you are entering dangerously into the travel lane. This is unfortunate. So one of the things we eliminated right away was this notion of having the quaint diagonal parking in Center Street in Shandon. And one of the things we've heard loud and clear from the folks is that there's a lot of people that may have their trailer still attached to their pickup when they go to get their mail, and to park parallel just makes a lot more sense in that setting. So that's kind of the feel for Shandon. I'll be done here in a few minutes. We can open this up. So in terms of preferences, retail opportunities. Right now there are two markets. Beautify the community. Provide for walkability. My recognizing in Shandon when you go out there, particularly in the warmer months, is that Shandon is a walking town. It's quite fascinating in that regard. This is one of the priorities that came from the community, to provide for close-knit neighborhoods. They don't want to see long strips of endless residential neighborhoods that end in cul-de-sacs, but to break that up and to allow close-knit neighborhoods to get to the park, to get to the commercial areas. One of the features of the compact development alternative that we're recommending is that every house, with the exception of a few existing houses, would be within a half mile of three commercial nodes in town. Not the ideal quarter mile that we would like, but in Shandon, a half mile. And another key feature is to buffer the agricultural areas. The desire here is to, from the community, is they don't want to, as you come into Shandon, see that blank, usually a sound wall, no landscape buffer, boom, there it is, all of a sudden urban, rather, you know, up against the agriculture. Infrastructure improvements, you'll see in the plan, and we can outline in brief here today that there are many. And in fact, there's others that the community would like to see that we perhaps haven't addressed fully. Protect the creeks. As I mentioned, there's two creeks forming a river, and they're phenomenal creeks in that a lot of you'll go out there and you'll see sheer face creek bluff edges, and then you see a wide riparian zones. Public safety services. The nearest sheriff is in Templeton. They have a fire department, and that's a huge thing. The highway patrol is very cooperative and makes their way into Shandon, but still that can be improved. Moderate multifamily density near commercial areas. Interesting in that there's no multifamily there. We believe there's a need for that, but the desire here is to not cluster it all in one spot and to make it a close distance to the commercial areas, and that makes a lot of sense. So we've brought down our density, still in a density that reflects the county's strategic growth principles, but you're looking more in tune of a community with 13, 14 units an acre rather than 25 units an acre. And expand the existing park. As I mentioned, you can see in the photo there, the park has. And this is very important to stress in Shandon and perhaps any of our communities when we speak to different income levels. We're speaking of market rate, workforce housing, moderate income. We're not simply targeting the far right hand of that scale of the low and very low. Shandon right now, their market rate is low. So it would actually, the way the inclusionary housing ordinance works, we'll see that there's a lot of built-in relief for a town such as Shandon in the next several years. So how does this take shape? One of the things in the community, there may be confusion when you put a new colorful map on the screen and you say we're going to be adding all these opportunities in. And the picture is this is going to happen all at once, and it won't. It's the way the economy is, it may not happen initially for 5-10 years. And that's the reality. The cost of the infrastructure. Chapter 8, you'll see what if we had everything we needed, we need $72 million for the infrastructure. The highway construction, that alone, the widening of 46 when Caltrans does that, the next phase would go from where they've recently or almost completed to the Whitley Gardens, the bridge over the Estrella River. Then from there, it would go from the Estrella River just past Shandon. That feature alone could save some of the early developers a significant amount of money for paying for these improvements themselves. So it's likely we'll see the highway construction happen first. And commercial keeping up with residential. This is a very, very challenging thing for us as planners in a community. How do we keep Shandon from being another bedroom community? And that's a very significant concern. And so we went over all of these things. Again, 25-year horizon, 1,437 homes, striving to have employment, economic development, and adding about 220 acres to the plan. And there's the plan. And one of the other, we'll get to this here in a second. We can come back to this slide if we need to. I mentioned the walking, the San Juan Bridge across the San Juan Creek. And you can see it's the North-South Creek that passes. There we go. It passes under Highway 41. Right now that bridge is narrow and unsafe, is being almost polite. So one of the key features that needs to happen right away is a pedestrian bridge, affording to tear that bridge out and build a full vehicle and pedestrian bridge would be very expensive. So we're recommending that it be a pedestrian bridge across that creek. The community sewer, there isn't one. Shandon could grow in its little bits and pieces without one. You'd be limited on residential subdivisions. You could build out the residential lots that exist today, and small commercial projects could come on board, but they would be limited to fitting their septic system on site. One of the, when we look at the public facility financing, the key strategy with this is for the infrastructure to come online early or first with the first development, and that it be a reimbursement-based strategy. In other words, we're not going to be trying to find the money to pay for these all up front and get behind that money and constantly chasing the money to get the infrastructure in, but it would be a reimbursement so that the first developers would have, they're obligated, you'll see in Chapter 8, they're obligated to build certain features, and then they would get reimbursed for that. The cost to the existing properties, again, Shandon, the economic structure in Shandon, the obvious choice was to minimize the cost to the folks that live in Shandon. If one has an existing house and has no intention of redeveloping, your septic system's working fine, you're looking at perhaps your share of some water system upgrades. If and when, and I would really stress that if and when you had to hook up to the sewer, that the sewer mains were put into your street, your septic system. Water and agriculture are obvious out there. Where's the water coming from? Shandon, just the board agreed last week to not sell their 100-acre feet. Impacts to agriculture, Shandon is essentially on prime ag soil, all of it. There's some few pockets that aren't. So what does that mean in terms of Class 1 impacts? Well, the EIR lists 11 of them. So this is going to be a tough challenge for the Planning Commission. This is going to be a challenge for the board to look at those, to mitigate those to the best, to the greatest length possible, to make tough choices on where and how a community such as Shandon may grow and still be responsible to the best of our ability in terms of the environment. We did essentially two side-by-side EIRs, if you will. We did a program-level EIR for the community as a whole, and then in the community plan, you'll see there is the first phase of development is called Falling Star, and we did a project-level environmental impact report for Falling Star. So that project theoretically could come in and seek entitlements at any time after the plan's adopted. There's an HCP involved, a habitat conservation plan for the kit fox, a burrowing owl, and the prairie shrimp. And that needs to be completed. That can't be completed. The federal agency, the Fish and Wildlife Services, says they cannot finish their review of that until at least the Planning Commission, you folks, are in a position to be recommending what they would call the project description, if you will, to stand still. In other words, right now we have the project description looked in the environmental impact report as being 8,100 people. We're recommending a plan of 5,200 people. You guys are going to choose for us, or somewhere in between, or somewhere else. And so the federal agencies are saying, time out, we can't finish. We can't do our environmental review. We can't complete our review of the habitat conservation plan, at least to that point. So that's several months away from being completed. I mentioned the infrastructure cost. One of the other things you're going to help make a decision on. We will be recommending there are two wastewater treatment plant sites in the plan, and they're comparable, and there's some favorable points for one over the other, and that will have to be decided. And then I mentioned economic development, and probably the last and most important issue is change. How do we move forward? The community recognizes this. They've made this very loud and clear. This is a small town. Some folks, as you'll find out, are happy the way it is. Some folks would like to see some change. There's not 100% agreement on all of the features that might come into a plan. This isn't always that unusual. So change. It's a big difference, and that's why we have some Class 1 impacts. When you add buildings in a rural environment, that's a Class 1 aesthetic impact. When you take groundwater that may be used for agriculture, there's a potential for a Class 1 impact. When you remove ag land, that's a Class 1 impact. So there would be change with this plan. So what's next? The final environmental impact report will be out soon, and I'll be getting that. I think Commissioner Christensen is the only one that received a draft in the past. And the draft is available online, but in a few days we'll have a complete final for you to look at, and all the changes will be in that. And then we're hoping to go to work on the 10th of March and have some hearings with you folks. And I would anticipate it would be more than one, maybe three or four. And then if we do this, then get to the board sometime in the summer.
Thank you, Jay. Mike Wolken, planning staff. I just wanted to add one point to the background that Jay was giving you about the plan and how it came about and why the plan's being updated. We heard a lot of comments from the community early on that there was interest in having more opportunities for commercial development and more services in Shandon. And the plan responds to that interest by providing those opportunities. In order to do that, though, you need a certain critical mass of population. And that's what this plan provides. It comfortably provides enough population to support a market for these new commercial.
That matter you may want to ask James. So.
Okay, well, we only have three public comment slips, so I am going to allow public comment, and if anybody else wants to speak, now would be the time to get your slip in, so hopefully I won't have like 20 of them in 2 minutes. this is a study session, which means it's very early in our deliberations, and really this isn't a deliberation. We need to be careful about not prejudicing ourselves, because we haven't actually seen our final EIR and actually had, this isn't a hearing. So I hope we aren't going to ask a lot of questions that are going to get into a lot of details, i.e., maybe we won't be talking to Mr. Caruso today. But this is an opportunity to clarify kind of basic things, including process things, you know, exactly what is going to happen next and that kind of thing. So I think because we still do have lots of time, I think we're going to go ahead and get the public comment out of the way, and then we can go ahead and ask some questions, sure, if that sounds okay to the commission. So as usual, Mr. Greening is first, and then on deck, next would be Jerry Bunin, and then John Knight on deck after that. Eric?
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I'm certainly not expecting you to come to any conclusions today, but I just wanted to dangle a couple of additional issues and concerns out there as you work your way through the process. Even though you're being asked to convert less agricultural land than in the previous draft, to convert any agricultural land, you need to make findings under Ag Policy 24. And the way it's written, there are ands between those findings, so it sounds to me as if you need to make them all. And I'm not sure how you can make a finding that the land does not meet the criteria for inclusion in this plan or the land use element, namely inclusion in the agricultural category. I don't see how you can make the finding that agricultural production is not feasible due to some physical constraint, such as soil infertility, lack of water resource or disease, or surrounding incompatible land uses. And surrounding means all sides. And I don't see how you can, I don't see the study relative to a finding that conversion will not materially reduce ground water recharge. Do we know if recharge is occurring right now on some of this ground? Essentially, what you need to be able to make any of the findings is a detailed site-specific evaluation, and I haven't seen the detailed site-specific evaluation. So one question that I would hope gets raised is, will you see such a detailed site-specific evaluation, and it will it make it possible for you to make all of the findings you need to make? One other non-agricultural issue I want to hit, I'm not going to talk about water right now because it's going to be presupposing what the board does tomorrow. We will certainly be talking about it in March. But I do want to talk about the circulation element, public transit. You need to find more than stops. There needs to actually be service at those stops. San Miguel, which has either about a third or about a fifth of what you're looking at for the build-out population, has fixed route service twice a day on weekdays and three times a day on weekends. For comparable service for Shandon at a considerably higher population, I don't see where it's coming from. This is an operational need. It's not a facility that you can get a one-time funding for. This is an ongoing operational need. Some of it will come from Farebox. Some of it will compete with other uses of the county's TDA money. Some of it, maybe you can find a way to get some out of rural transportation funds. But quite frankly, what's happening with public transit in general is a squeeze, in spite of all the good lip service of climate action plans. There tends to be a squeeze on transit funding, and that will particularly be the case given that this is not likely to be part of the urban area that may or may not exist, depending on how the census redraws its configuration. So operational funding for the public transit, a community of the build-out size needs, is an issue that needs to be identified and part of your questioning and problem-solving. And with that, I will stop here, and we'll go on with the details later. But I wanted those issues to be in front of you for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening.
Her and Shandon, given the population there, are people likely to shop at one store there and drive into Paso Robles for everything else? I also think it's probably might be considered unrealistic to expect new development to pay up front for public facilities and wait 25 years for reimbursement. You know, the lending climate today is pretty poor. And, I mean, unless somebody is independently wealthy, that's going to be a difficult road for them to travel. So those are things I just want to make sure that we're discussing as we go through this. I'm also, I read about the new school, and you want to build a school concurrent with new construction. So when you get 75 homes, you're not going to have a new school. There's not enough money in that new construction to do that. So that's just another area. When I read through it, I went, well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. We recognize this is a visioning document. Well, we would like to see the vision anchored in physical realities so it has real value and some chance of becoming reality. I'd rather see reality than fantasize. I fantasize when I go to the movies. Ultimately, what we're concerned about is this plan will not produce what people want. And then they're going to blame new development for not doing it. And we get blamed for a lot of things anyway. So we're trying to head this off at the pass and make sure that the plan is realistic and achievable. The bottom line is that commercial will follow residential. It will not occur concurrent. But that's not that we're against the plan. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bunin. John Knight, followed by Chad Wittstrom.
Good afternoon. John Knight, J. Knight Consulting. I'm a private planner. I've been involved in this plan since somewhere around 2003, and I know some members of the community have been working on it for nearly 10 years. It's been a long time coming. I think when we started this, we knew we thought we were running a 10K, but it's really turned into more of a marathon. We all thought we were going to be done a couple of years ago. I think when we started the plan, we all started with rose-colored glasses, and we really thought this great new partnership was going to work, and we were going to have 10, 12, 15,000 people living in Shandon, and we'd be under construction by now. So reality came into play, and we're under some serious economic changes since we started the plan. It's taken much longer than we ever thought. It's been much more expensive than we ever thought. I think the reality is the first time we see development out in Shandon, best case scenario, we're probably looking 10 years. So you heard Jerry Bunin talk about reality, fantasy. We've put a lot of time and energy to get this far. My experience has been plans of this nature, big plans. The person who starts the plan is never the person who finally implements the plan. But it's a start, and we have to start somewhere. It's not a perfect plan, but it is a good plan. The staff has put a lot of energy into it. Some people were very concerned about this partnership with the developers. There was one developer, actually, one property owner, which is Peck Ranch Entities, which I represent. And then at the time, I was representing another property owner called MZERP. They pulled out of the plan when they realized it wasn't going to be this grandiose plan that I think some people originally thought. But this is, make no mistake, this is a county plan. This is a county document. They've put a lot of energy into it. They have put some time, some money into it, but primarily their contribution has been time. And this is really a county document. I think my main goal at this point is really just to see this plan get approved and get completed. Somebody in the future is going to have to pick this up again. You heard Jay talk about the $73 million it takes for the infrastructure. Much of that is infrastructure for major items like roadway improvements, wastewater treatment plant improvements. This is going to take a long time. It's going to be a long, complicated process. There's going to be grants that we have to go after. Somebody new is going to be coming through that process and doing that. So let's get this plan in place. This will give us an opportunity to move forward for somebody else to move forward in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chad Wittstrom, and then I don't have any more slips.
Chad Wittstrom, 1100 West Center Street, Shandon. My family has been living in the Shandon area since the late 50s. My grandfather, my great-grandmother, and my grandmother were all lucky enough to have the memorial services held in a little church that Jay showed up on the board. In a past life that I spent a lot of time here at the Planning Commission, and I had an opportunity to work with Jay, Glenn, and a lot of county staff on numerous occasions. I felt like you guys have spent a lot of time and a lot of energy on this plan. Based on my past experiences, I feel as though that the nature of our community is an agricultural community. I'm just simply addressing that we're trying to do a balancing act between economic sustainability and agricultural viability. And that this plan seems as though it does a good job in doing that, but it doesn't seem to quite the scope that's necessary in order to be able to hold the economic viability up. And in closing, I would say that the greatest problem Shandon faces right now is methamphetamines. The town, Jay put a very romantic twist on what he felt like the town was like and romanticized it very much, but the reality of the situation is that we're in desperate need of law enforcement and probably some type of drug task force. We have a lot of issues in that town that need to be addressed. People can't afford to live in Paso Robles. And so they come to Shandon, and I've heard it said by some of the folks on the wrong side of the law that they come out there because there is no law, and that's one of the greatest struggles facing our community. We can talk about houses and pedestrian and parking, but the reality of the situation is when you have someone coming in your house stealing your stuff, and the fights and the stabbings and everything else that goes on in wonderful Shandon, that we need to keep our eye on what really matters, and that's that our kids and our family is safe. And
thank you, Mr. Mitchum. If you could summarize.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, I don't see any more slips, so we're going to go ahead and close public comment and come back to the commission. Those were excellent public comments for the brief number of them. And also thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your report. I appreciate it. Could you, before we go into questions from the commission, I just have one question. If you could just, again, reiterate what is going to happen next. Now, my understanding is we've got a final EIR coming, and then we have our public hearing draft of the actual plan. So at the March 10th hearing, our first one on this, we're going to be asked to make a recommendation to the board regarding both the final EIR and this plan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So no one else has any version of the EIR except for I have a copy of the draft because I was on the commission a long time ago. Or you have one too?
Okay. No, I'm going to take yours.
it's right here on this little piece of...
I saw it, yeah.
Little thing. Okay, so, and do you know when that final EIR is going to come?
Mike Wilkin, probably within a week.
Oh, okay.
The final EIR will be released, and your commission will get copies.
And we have so much time to read it, too. We might still be in the middle of our solar project hearings. You never know. No, hopefully not. But, okay, and then this is the draft of the plan that we're going to be talking about, though, right here. Okay.
Yes.
All right, just want to get that clear. Now, let's go ahead and bring it back to commission for questions. And first one would be commissioner from the district.
Thank you. Jay, can we start back at the beginning, so to speak, in the community plan figure 3.1. I'd like, just so I can get a background of the two developers and the land that they control, it would be where on this. And I don't know if you can have a pointer up there or if you can somehow you could explain. Thank you. I can see that.
We'll work from left to right. The community park, where'd my cursor go?
Right there, to your right, yeah.
There we go. Is the green rectangle, yikes, right on Center Street at First Street. That's the existing 11-acre park. To the left of that, the blue rectangle is the fire station.
Right.
The Peck Ranch that Mr. Knight represents is to the north and west of that. So the blocked off areas in pink, brown, and red, the large expansion of the park to the right, there's 12 acres, 14 acres of commercial service there in purple, and then wrapped around that is the single family in yellow.
Okay.
And so they own, the Peck Ranch is actually not only on this map, but goes thousands of acres
right
off of this map. And the other feature, since we're speaking of the Peck Ranch, to make note of is the detached purple piece. And that is purposefully, staff is recommending that not be in the urban reserve line.
Jay, excuse me. Yes, sir. Can you use the cursor again? There's a couple of different purple areas, and maybe show the
there's
entire...
There's lavender
this,
and there's...
This big one, this big one here.
Up there don't match what's on the screen.
Yeah.
And perhaps outline the whole Peck ownership, if you will.
So. Yeah, the screen doesn't look at all like what we're looking at.
Right.
Our project is a good portion of that is in the urban reserve line today. It's currently zoned single family. There's a portion of that property that's zoned commercial service. So that property would be a total of 86 acres. And it would have about 395 total homes and about 30,000 square feet of commercial. There's some mixed use mixed in there. When you read through the document, and particularly Chapter 8, you'll recognize that we speak to it as the first development because that's what we've anticipated, the first development. So if they're the first development, then they would be required to put in the first phase of the sewer and do certain circulation improvements up front. It could be that they chose to not be the first developer. Then, say, someone, as Mr. Knight touched upon, a new owner comes along the Peck Ranch, and they become the first developer. Then they would be obligated to take on those first items that are necessary, upgrades to the water system. The biggest difference between the Peck Ranch and the Falling Star site, the number of homes are nearly the same. It's the amount of commercial. And as the commercial develops, once the bits and pieces on Center Street expanded, we set this up to where the more traditional downtown, if you will, picture the first couple of blocks in Paso Robles across the street from the park, would be that type of scenario on the Peck Ranch. So those are the two major pieces. There's a lesser piece that isn't part, they're not part of the primary applicants, in other words, contributing funding for the plan, but you also see in the document a master plan area called the Halpin property. Halpin used to be part of Falling Star, and it's the piece that is east. It's not on the screen. You're going to have to trust me on this. It's hard. It's east of San Juan Road. That's the Halpin piece. And what's remaining in that in the plan is a 9 to 10 acre business park area. And
Jesus, I can't tell Mike right to your left.
All right. I'm done with that. And then the about 9 acres of single family. It would be for larger lot, single family. Our single family category in this particular case, we want some flexibility. So it goes from 2 to 1 acre on up to 12 per acre. So when you see the formalized zoning maps in your packet one day, you'll probably see on a lot of this property a split zone. It'll be legally, we would have to zone it, part of it, allow it to be multifamily, even though it's not going to be receiving the higher multifamily density.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to add that the exhibit that's on the screen is found in your plan. It's a figure 3.2. It's a figure in the plan. It's on page 43.
Okay, thank you. So Jay, just continuing, kind of, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Back on the 19th, you had a community hearing that I was at, but I didn't catch how many. You've had a lot of trips out there. You've had a lot of community plans, community meetings, and you speak in the presentation about the community's priorities, which I gather are in an appendix that I haven't seen yet. But on that, on your slides where you say community preferences, Could you organize in those order those in a particular order? Mr. Whitstrom mentions a need for public safety, which I don't see in until you're further down on the list. I'd just kind of like to get a sense from your meetings with the community, in order of priority, what's most important to the community. They've had a lot of input on this, I take it, and so I'm assuming that your plan is reflecting a lot of what the community wants.
That's a good question, and perhaps one of the struggle with this is that we haven't prioritized each of the points on down the list. Here's number one, two, etc. The two forms that the information basically came to us. One was through the workshops and the surveys we did, and where people would vote on preferences. One of the points folks made to us about preferences surveys is that you gave me a choice of these 10 items, but the one I really wanted to choose wasn't on the list. So we obtained information that way. Falling Star Homes, actually, the Sheriff's Department wouldn't be able to locate in Shandon, and I think Jerry Munin even touched upon this, is that, and so did Mike, that until you have a certain amount of houses, a certain amount of population, sure, base, those types of things won't show up. So public safety is high on the list. In terms of infrastructure, I think if we could provide a safer way, a good way to get on the highway from Center Street, if we could do just that, it would make a good deal of people very happy.
So would you speak to that? You were talking about Caltrans's plans for 46, and as you know, they're just about finishing up with that first phase. As I understand it, they're going to progress next to Whitley Gardens. But it was my understanding that everything from Whitley Gardens east was still very nebulous in terms of funding and priorities with Caltrans. Is that accurate, or do they have the funding mechanism in a long-range plan to carry it all the way to, and is it 46 East all the way to East Center Street, or is it just to, or is it 46 coming all the way east to where the Center Street and 41 comes back into the road? Is that the plan?
Okay, I'll
kind of jumped around there.
No problem. In terms of the financing, I'll let you know what I understand to be, and maybe Mr. Marshall knows differently. I understand that third phase after Whitley Gardens to Shandon is funded for right-of-way purchase and engineering design, but not full construction. So that would take another effort from between Caltrans and SLOCOG to get that properly programmed. I don't know, Glenn, do you have?
I can't add on to that. Glenn Marshall, County Public Works. I can't add on to that, but I think I can note that for our discussion when you come back in March.
Okay.
We'll get that as answers.
And where it is meant to go, this is from where we sit in terms of the county and county planning, is that it's meant to go somewhere between the intersections in Shandon. It would be nice to go, say, all the way to the rest stop or past, all the way past Shandon. And then the fourth leg would go all the way to what's known as the Y.
To the Chelam Y, right. Okay. Yeah, because I agree. I mean, in terms of safety, just leaving that community meeting
you
the other.
You could just confine yourself to questions.
Oh, sorry.
Comment.
I get into total personal stuff here. In terms of. Did I hear correctly that entirely all of the land of the Peck Ranches and Falling Star is all on Class 1 soils?
We'd have to look at the soil map in the EIR, but I think just about the whole community is. If there's something less than prime soil, it's very spotty.
Okay. I'm sure I'll have more questions, but I'll defer for now.
Okay, we can take turns. Mr. O'Grady, you're up next.
Mr. Johnson, I assume for our March 10th hearing, you will be doing a staff report for that?
Yes.
Okay. Could you include in that March 10th staff report responses, or could you just address the public comments that you heard today? Mr. Greening spoke about potential conflicts with land use elements and ag policies, groundwater recharge, and public transit service. Mr. Bunin talked about the economic issues, critical mass, and I'd be interested in good documentation of related to that. I have not read Chapter 8 yet. Perhaps it is already in there, although Mr. Bunin seemed to think it was insufficient. So if you could address that. And then see, Mr. Wittstrom addressed intensified agriculture, buffer sizes. I guess those have economic implications, the meth problem and law enforcement. And Mr. Knight addressed, I guess he was the Peck Ranch property representative, if I heard that right. And we'd just like to understand all of the implications and the arrangements that have been made, and if there are any agreements beyond just Peck Ranch paying for what, 6/7 of the update or what have you, and if there's anything that goes beyond that, if your staff report could address that. So thank you.
Yes, Mike Wilkin, the staff report will address the comments that you've heard today, and as well as the consistency with general plan policies, and that would include Mr. Greening's concern about the ag policy 20.
Paso Robles, in the fields around Shandon, we have folks that go into Avenel to work at the prison and whatnot, so there would be most everyone would leave. Then once that mass, critical mass of commercial investment arrives in Shandon, the idea would be to provide that opportunity to live and work in Shandon, but as we know, it may attract somebody to a job in Shandon that works in Paso Robles, and it's something that's really beyond our control in that regard in terms of land use planning. And so you could be passing your neighbor or friend on the highway each morning. So the way we've structured it is to provide that opportunity. I think Shandon will one day have some advantages in terms of the land prices would be a little cheaper. Shandon is gets a great deal of sun. I think there's some opportunities there, and we have implementation strategies in the plan to address drawing businesses to Shandon.
Yeah, in that regard, I was wondering where the cross linkage is between this community plan and the economic element of the county general plan. And that's something perhaps you can't answer right off the top, but possibly we could discuss at the hearing. And the primary question I had was, where is the current urban reserve line? Is that in the plan? Can you point me to an exhibit?
Let's go back to that here. The red line that misses a bit is the current urban reserve line. So it's interesting in that it captures the traditional older part of town that's zoned single family. The CR is the Center Street strip and the park, and then the PF is the area where the high school and elementary school are. There's one interesting factor with Shandon is there's 6 to 8 agriculturally zoned parcels north of the river in the urban reserve line. It's unfortunate there's no way to connect those two physically because the span of the river is significant. So we're recommending that remain the way it is. But so that red line is the existing urban reserve line.
And is that in an exhibit in the...
Yes, sir.
A numbered one?
Yes.
That you could...
It would be...
it's in figure 3.1.
Figure 3.1.
3.1. 3.1. No, 3.1 shows an expanded compact urban area, I believe.
It's also shown on one figure 1.2 on page 11. It shows the existing urban reserve line and the proposed urban reserve line.
Okay. That's kind of at the core of this plan, right? That urban reserve line expansion.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Not very clear, is it?
And that becomes part of the action should this be adopted as you're recommending it.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I had a couple other questions, sure. Madam Chairman. The floodplain boundary, which shows on. Let's see, one of the exhibits, I didn't earmark it, but it basically is two blue lines that cover that area that's basically around the creeks. And I was wondering, here it is, figure 7.2, 100-year flood boundary. Is that, how does that compare with the Federal Emergency Management Agency flood boundary? Is it identical, or is it a derivation? Because sometimes, you know, you have updated boundaries, and this, and I noticed that North Coast or North County Engineering had done a special study here. So I wondered if this is the outcome of a revision study, or is it as it comes from FEMA?
That's a good question. This is a proposed flood study. This is based on newer information, a combination of information from North Coast Engineering and EDA. So we do have a program that will require through Public Works to file, go through the official process with FEMA to come up with a new firm map. And so it is mentioned that until that time, we'll be using the firm maps that we have on file in the department. So they're different.
And that's my next question. In what ways are they different? If you could generally say, unless you have an exhibit that's already here that I've missed, point me to that exhibit.
I think the major difference, if we look at, if we turn to exhibit figure 7.5, the major difference is you can characterize it on the San Juan Creek as an island. If you see the creek going around each side of that, that's the main flood channel goes around the left of that island. So that really...
So in relation to figure 7.1, it takes it around to the left. That's what you're saying?
Correct. The main channel is to the left of that island. The part to the right, this is just my guessing.
Do you want to put that figure on the screen? I don't know if it's hard to do, but our public, if anybody's watching, they're going to wonder what you were talking about.
Yeah, we'll put figure 7.5 on the screen. Shows the flood plain limits. As soon as I get it out of my...
Is the entire blue area the floodplain limit? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah,
that's correct.
That would be the proposed 100-year flood elevation or area. Turn that on.
Okay. So the biggest difference is the island here. So the San Juan Creek, the main flood way was to the left. So to the right, it's an area that probably if we were doing a 90-year flood map wouldn't be on there. Just me guessing, having seen some of the work. And then it's a little wider as it becomes the Estrella River heading westerly. So those are the bigger changes. The other thing that may wind up adding to the official firm maps would be the flood insurance maps. Is this little creek that flows in from the north there by the intersection where it says two by the arrow there, two passer ovals. So those are the major differences. And if you've had any opportunity to look at the creek banks out there, it's pretty sheer in spots, and the water comes down these creeks with a great deal of velocity. And so the engineers we've been working with are recommending we have this in the plan for a 100-foot setback from the top of bank.
Thank you. Just two more questions.
Sure. We're here for.
Speaking to the question, Mr. Whitstrom's comment on safety, I was wondering a couple of things. One is, what would it take to support a substation in the area? Is that just totally out of the question in the long-term future? How much of a population base does it require, roughly?
Yeah, roughly. I would have to get back with the Sheriff's Department to sort that out, and we'll make note of that. I know it's not in the short term. It would be something, for example, in the Woodlands Project in South County, there's a sheriff's substation that one day could get built there, and that's 1,300 homes. So you're looking at some sort of probably another 1,000 homes out there before it even starts to be looked at. But we'll touch base with the sheriff to sort that out.
For example, we have in Cambria, we have...
Can you just... questions rather
yes,
than
yes,
discussion.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes, okay, sure. I would be interested in knowing what the alternatives are to a full substation.
Good question.
Such as patrol cars stopping at the fire station for X period of time or having a holding tank at the fire station. And then my other question in this regard is related to the safety element of the general plan. And what cross-references do we have in here? I should have done my homework or else I could say, but I'm sorry I haven't read it that thoroughly. So
you have other things
maybe
to
you can
too.
Maybe you can save me some time by letting me know where the cross connections are here with a safety element, which gets back to the flooding, of course.
Yeah. Mike Wilkin, I can say that we've looked at the safety element in terms of identifying areas that are subject to geologic hazard, like liquefaction and landslide, and we're recommending as part of the plan that those areas be identified as geologic study area, combining designations or overlays. So that's one connection with the safety element. And the other, of course, is the flood hazard area, and we have the program to implement that through Public Works in the process of going through the FEMA officially changing our combining designation maps to reflect that.
Last but not least, Madam Chairman, the public facilities financing plan, I think, is perhaps somewhat unique for a community plan. Is that not correct? This is something relatively new, right, that you're doing for this particular community. Are there many other communities that have a public facilities financing plan associated with the community plan? If not... I would think this would be a kind of a major step forward at trying to deal with infrastructure issues in advance, and in that sense is somewhat unique, right?
It is unique for our county.
Yeah, yes. This is the first one. It's the first public facility financing plan that we've done. The idea, though, is with our future community plan updates is to include an infrastructure or public facilities funding and financing component with each of those. So our new community plans, and we have another one that's in the works that's just starting now in San Miguel, will also have a public facility financing component. Yeah.
In that regard, I noticed a piece of correspondence that came in expressing interest and concern about being able to have public discussion about that particular element. That chapter of this plan, and I presume that would be forthcoming in the upcoming hearings, where people can have a chance to really, where the commission would get a chance to really look at that in terms of what the mechanisms are to help finance things like wastewater improvements and the like, mm-hmm. and road improvements.
Definitely. That's yeah. all on the table for your commission to discuss and deliberate. It's actually a part of the plan. Yeah. It's Chapter 8 right. of the plan is the public facility financing component. And so your commission will be reviewing that and making recommendations on that as part of the entire plan.
So I just have a kind of a question and a request that when we have this hearing, that there be enough time given to backgrounding everybody at the outset on the agriculture aspects, the water aspects, and the infrastructure aspects, because I think these are all, what I've heard so far, is critical parts of the concern that people have relative to how this community goes forward.
Sure, staff will do its very best at backgrounding us. It is a little overwhelming for new commissioners to come in. It's overwhelming for experienced commissioners. but for new commissioners to come in and have to absorb so much background on so many different big projects and policies. And so I'm sure our staff will do their best, and that's why we ask questions. And if you have things as you're reading and you have more questions, you know, that would be the time to just go ahead and zap them an email and give them more heads up that there's more we want to know. Mr. Irving, I see you have your light on again, and I presume it's a short one, and we can...
Yeah, very short.
And then I don't know if we have more questions or if we're kind of done,
yeah,
and then... Yeah, because we can, you know, we can either take a break or come back, or we can just kind of try to finish up and be out of here.
Let's staff finish
up. Well, I think... No, I don't think... No, staff's done.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard a vote over here. Let's finish up. And I don't know why. I'm in agreement with that. So, Mr. Irving, go ahead.
I love living here.
Actually, this is probably best to Public Works. I'd like. Could you explain a little bit more about this swap with Caltrans and 41 and Center? And so, what's in the works and what does it mean?
Jay, do you want this one or do you want me to?
I'll go for it.
Okay, he's been spearheading this whole thing.
What it means is, well, it's important. Best way to characterize it is, let's look at it from the county's perspective and the state's. For the county, we would be receiving right of way that we have more say over the bits and pieces with. When it comes to speed and engineering and turns and pavement widths, Caltrans and Public Works are pretty close on all of those things. But when it comes to traffic calming features, how does parking look, encroachment permits, those types of things, then that becomes county control. And that's, in terms of planning, favorable for the county. For Public Works Department, and I'll speak for you, Glenn, you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that they're acquiring more street to maintain than they would have otherwise. That's not a good thing in terms of long term. The from the county state's perspective, just the opposite. They're going to be getting rid of a longer stretch of road. They're going to be getting two very nice bridges. We're going to two nice bridges that cross the Estrella River, and they get less to maintain. It takes it's a legislative act at the state to move a state route, and it takes. But we're fortunate in this case because the way 41 is defined in each highway is defined in the state highway code from point A to point B. Well, all it says is from Morro Bay to Highway 46. So we're doing that. So we get to avoid that extra rub with the state of having to go through the state legislature. So what it really means is a process and negotiation between Glenn's department and Caltrans, and then for the right of ways to exchange. Caltrans loves it, and cities and counties seem to like it as the benefits, as I mentioned, too.
So, yeah.
So let me point out, if we can put this one on the screen here, the computer, where the exchange is. And so if we go to this intersection here at where Highway 41, you would turn right, go through Shandon. That's existing Highway 41. So the state will be giving up all of that and then receiving this length back to 46 that way.
Okay.
and then the county would be receiving this greater length through town up to 46 that way. Another advantage that may be good for the community in the long run is when 41 and 46, that intersection to the west side of town, becomes a state intersection rather than a county-state intersection. Mm-hmm. The funding, the state then is a little more, has to be more open to helping fund those improvements.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Good question. Okay, I don't see any more lights on. Mr. Murphy, did you have a couple questions? Either got it or you don't.
I do.
Go ahead.
I didn't get the draft EIR, but there are soils maps in the draft. It's put out the soil types and classes of the soils, because that was one concern I had with the ag soils on there. So that is available. You said the final EIR, it will be out within a week. Is that pretty firm, you think? The draft final EIR?
That's our understanding from the consultant, draft. Yes.
Well, it's a draft till it goes to hearing.
So the draft's already, no.
The draft EIR was released in March of last year. It's online. It's still on our department's website, if you can see what it looks like. It does have those soils maps. The final EIR, our consultant says, will be out within the week, and your commissioner will be getting copies of those. And that will, I believe, also include all of the draft EIR as well as the corrections to the draft EIR as a result of public comments and responses to comments. And so you'll be having that very soon.
And on the multifamily, are you contemplating two-story multifamily or single-story?
The height limit for all development, actually, this is from the community, is to have a two-story limit. Now, we have... because of the definition of story and the building codes, et cetera, we've gone with a height limitation. So it would be two-story. But not the design criteria. The guidelines would suggest we're not looking for, and let me restate this, we're looking just the opposite. We don't want to create a long building with a dormitory-style apartments that you might see near Cal Poly here or something like that. So the second floor would most likely be more of a townhouse, though it wouldn't preclude someone proposing the second story option, but it would have to be more livable.
And if I read it right, you're not requiring mandatory hookup to any new sewer system. It would be optional for existing residents?
That's correct. As long as Chapter 8 has five criteria for if and when you would have to hook up to the sewer. As long as your septic system is working fine and you're not coming in for a building permit that would seek an application to expand your house to the great deal to where the building official said you needed to hook up, then you could for indefinitely operate on your septic system.
Because my only concern there is ultimately funding the operation. That's why I was asking that question.
Right.
I had a comment, but I'll save it. Since we're doing questions.
I mean, discretion is the better part.
Well, obviously phasing is a big issue, and it's because of the cost of what needs to be done. It's the chicken or the egg, what comes first. I mean, to develop, you need money, and to get money, you've got to develop.
We're in the question phase, not the comment phase. We have our staff attorney over there keeping an eye on us during our study sessions. Okay, so I don't see any more lights. I think we're done with this. I think we're done today, then. In that, am I correct? So do I have a motion to receive into the record all testimony and documents received today?
So moved.
I hear a second.
Second.
You got who the second was? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so then I adjourn the meeting do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting to 2/2/11? That's Wednesday.
Yes, and Madam Chair, you'll be meeting outside by the flagpole?
Correct. Okay, I have
second.
Motion second to adjourn the meeting. Meeting's adjourned. I guess we don't have to have a motion to adjourn the meeting.